What's up, heaps? Welcome back to the 5 Minute Peel. Earnings season continues to roll right along, and as usual, we are here right alongside it, covering all the important stocks that we know you guys want to see. Today, we are going to be breaking down Charles Schwab Corporation. Keep in mind, this is just an assessment of their first quarter earnings, although we do have a price target at the very end. Just don't tell anybody. It's a super secret, so keep that all to yourself so that you can outperform your friends in your personal trading account. All right, we're going to be breaking down Charles Schwab here today in just a quick second, but apes, keep in mind, as earnings season rolls on, let us know what companies you want to see us break down, and we'll get right to it as quickly as possible. And it is just a coincidence that my shirt happens to perfectly match the exact logo of Charles Schwab here. We all know that this is actually called WSO Blue, and definitely not Charles Schwab Blue, but with no further ado, let's go ahead and break down these numbers. So, pulling up my trusty little Word document here so that we can talk about exactly how Charles Schwab continues to go ahead and do nothing but eat assets. Get your mind out of the gutter, by the way, apes. We absolutely did not do that on purpose whatsoever. This coming, I mean, they're just eating assets. We're going to break it down in just a quick second exactly how much assets they are continuing to eat. But, of course, didn't do that on purpose. Get your mind out of the gutter. Let's break down some of this basic information, okay? So the stock price has been rewarded handsomely over the past year, up about 35%. Although, as we can see in this chart, it is relatively flat since about December. So, market hasn't really moved much based on the full year numbers for 2023 and the quarterly numbers that we just got. But we're going to talk about exactly why that might be a little bit of a mistake. Despite the fact that full year EPS did decline by about 28%, close to 29%, revenue fell almost 10%, or really 9.3%. Net income fell by, nearly 30%. So very disgusting. Tough time managing costs throughout 2023. It was a weird year for financial services companies like Schwab, and we'll break down exactly why in just a quick second, so make sure to stay tuned. But net income margin did decline by about 22.25%, despite the fact that the company's net interest income margin actually improved in 2023, and they were basically the only financial services company to do so. Now, let's talk about some of the most important things from this first quarter report here. Revenue did beat expectations despite that decline, increase of 6% quarter over quarter, but down 7.3% year over year, beat expectations by about 5 basis points. EPS also beat expectations barely at all by literally 1 cent, or 1.37%. It's almost like these companies set expectations just so that they can barely beat them and not get absolutely brutalized as a result of the numbers that they publish. But no, they wouldn't conspire like that. They wouldn't do anything so corrupt. These are corporations. We can trust them, right? Anyway, core net new assets did increase $96 billion in Q1. Huge increase for Schwab, and that brought total client assets to a new record at $9.1 trillion. Total deposits did decline by about 7% at the same time as well. We're seeing a lot of rotation out of low-yield earning deposits into things like money market mutual funds. And we'll talk about why that might actually be a good thing for a company like Schwab. Client daily trades rose 1% to 5.96 million. All great to see activity increasing, brokerage accounts increasing, and net interest revenue, despite that, was down about 19%. This is easily the largest part of Schwab's revenue, so seeing this decline so much was a bit of a concern, but the margin of that net interest revenue is continuing to improve. So, a strong point to the upside for Schwab. Now, total client assets increased 20% from last year, an average of about 1.6%. We can see this is very healthy growth outside of this period over the summer when, I guess, investors were getting a little bit scared to hodl. The Bitcoin guys would be absolutely disgusted. Month-over-month changes have been relatively mixed. It's largely attributable to market performance. When we talk about new assets, growth has been nothing but healthy over the past year or so. Very impressive stuff by Schwab. Now, we scroll down a little bit and talk more about activity here. We can see that total client brokerage accounts have increased to 42 million, 4.3% growth from last year, versus things like declines that we're seeing at other firms. Companies like Robinhood are trying their best to continue to grow client accounts with a whole ton of marketing and everything like that. Schwab doesn't really play in that game. They're much more known. They rely on their brand reputation for that growth, and it's clearly working out for them. Now, buying and selling activity, this is where we get into some of the more interesting data here. So what we've been seeing is a consistent rotation out of mutual funds and into exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, and into money market mutual funds. So ETFs and MMFs, these tend to charge a little bit lower fees, but what brokerage companies like Schwab are doing as a result in order to combat that fee depreciation or that race to the bottom in fees that asset managers are experiencing is they will package a bunch of ETFs and money market mutual funds together and sell these to clients. So it's basically a portfolio of exchange-traded funds that's actively managed by portfolio managers at the company. So instead of picking individual stocks like they might in mutual funds, they're picking exchange-traded funds based on what the client's goal is going to be, and the same thing with money market funds. So the products themselves have a little bit of it's a lower expense ratio for ETFs and money market funds, but when you slap a management fee on top of those by packaging them all together, Schwab has been able to do a relatively decent job of continuing to grow their total asset management and administration fees. Other companies are really struggling like this. Take a look at State Street and BlackRock's numbers, but Schwab has seen 32% three-year growth, 9% annualized growth in their ability to pocket investor money essentially right here, rising to about $1.35 billion in the recent quarter. This is great stuff that we want to see, because this is really where the industry is all headed, is basically finding new ways to monetize management, because investors are moving out of active managed mutual funds. Fuckers like Warren Buffett telling everybody to get into passive management has basically destroyed the industry for active managers, and that's why we're seeing that race to the bottom. But Schwab has been able to manage it better than most. All right, so thoughts summarized. Relatively solid revenue and earnings performance. They beat expectations despite the difficult conditions. They are still seeing growth in client assets, trading volume, accounts, all very healthy. That's exactly what we want to see, because that bodes well for future revenue and future earnings, especially as they continue to scale up to the size of, you know, other huge players like State Street, BlackRock, and Fidelity. That is the direction that Schwab kind of sees itself going in. Now, asset management fees, they are in a race to the bottom, like we said a couple of times here, but Schwab is managing this well. See, again, this explosion in asset management fees. We also believe that Schwab deserves a premium valuation for its brand value, for its focus on technology through things like the Ameritrade acquisition, more rapid growth in net core client assets. A lot of reasons that Schwab deserves a bit of a premium valuation. And that's why in our scenario analysis, we maintained the premium valuation that Schwab actually deserves. So this company, they have a PE of about 26.67x on a fully diluted basis versus a peer average of about 22.79x. Now, the only sub 20 PE in the group is State Street, and that thing is an absolute piece of shit, crashing and burning. So we are going to assume that PE is maintained as we forecast our scenario analysis. Now, we assume 20%, 0%, and minus 20% EPS growth versus consensus estimates. So we're essentially saying that they might beat by 20%, they might come right in line with what consensus is going to be, or they might lose by up to 20% for 2024 and 2025. For reference, consensus EPS forecasts are $3.41 for 24 and $4.37 for 2025, and Monday's close was at $71.29. Keep that all in mind as we walk through our scenario analysis here and get to that price target that we promised. So as we can see, the spreads that we assume, 20, 0, and minus 20. Now, in 2024, if we assume they maintain their PE and we assume the same kind of EPS figures that I just laid out for us, we assign probabilistic valuations to these different scenarios, and we get a return of about 25.02% or $89.13 by the end of the year. Going through the same thing for 2025, we see a share price of a little bit over $114. That's an implied return of 60.21%. Annualized, it's 26.58%. So this is really just going off consensus numbers, and there is no multiple expansion that we're planning for whatsoever. I would say the multiple expansion is more likely than not over the next year, just given that the Fed is still planning on cutting at least, you know, one or two times this year. It's much lower than what was originally expected, but they are still pricing in for about one to two cuts. Now, given the fact that the company, they are losing revenue, losing earnings so much, and the stock price has been super resilient because analysts are expecting this. They're kind of priced in given overall market and financial conditions. So this is something that they've been expecting, but the fundamental business at Schwab via things like asset growth, activity growth, brokerage account growth, all great signs for future revenue and future earnings prospects, especially as the company continues to scale up. With all of this in mind, guys, we are happy to give out our very first 5 out of 5 bananas. And that means I got 5 on it. A great song out there. We couldn't be happier to issue this rating for Schwab here because, you know, there could be some things that would alter this thesis. If the Fed was no longer going to be cutting rates, then we might bump this down to 3 or 4 bananas. Now, if the company was pivoting away from its kind of activity to scale up its asset management department, or if they were pivoting away from, you know, their tendency to be a little bit more tech-enabled than most of these other firms. But that's not what we're seeing. So there could be things that would change the thesis. This is definitely one of our riskier calls, but we are very bullish on Schwab. I'm thinking about buying it personally myself, but in no way at all is this financial advice. I am an idiot. I eat crayons for breakfast. Do not listen to me. Do not take financial advice from a company whose downvotes are literal monkey shits. That is completely insane behavior. Do not listen to a word that I say. But hey, Schwab is looking good lately. Just don't take this as financial advice, or I might get arrested. And then we can't do 5-minute peels anymore. And how tragic would that be? I'm going to stop my yapping for now. Let us know exactly what companies you want to see us do next. And otherwise, happy investing, happy trading, apes. We'll see you soon. Bye now.